Welcome to Oryx Radio's My Health Journey podcast. You will now be listening to our health promotion program, where we focus on health-related topics. So sit back, relax, and listen to what we have to share.
Hello, my name is Hakim. I'm 18 years old, and I'm a reporter for Oryx Radio. Each month, we will discuss a different right that children should have while in hospital. I will serve as the narrator for this podcast as it mainly consists of vox pops from the participants. The participants in this podcast are from Red Cross Children's Hospital and Paul Hospital.
Hi, my name's Lucy Jameson. I work as a researcher and advocacy coordinator at the Children's Institute. The Children's Institute is part of the University of Cape Town. We teach. So we train doctors, nurses, social workers, and other students how to respect children's rights, what children's rights are all about. Today we're looking at the right to participation and consent in medical decision making. And it's really important that children and their parents, first of all, are aware of what these rights are. So let's start first with the difference between consent and participation. So when you give consent, it's about taking a decision. It's about having the authority to actually make a choice. But before you make a choice, you have to have information. You have to think about the decision that you're taking. Children have a right to be part of that process of making decisions, regardless of whether it's an adult that is taking the decision for them. So it might be their mum or dad, it might be a caregiver who has the authority to take the decision about which treatment they get in hospital. Then they have to have an opportunity to express their opinion. And finally, the critical thing about participation, it includes the right to be heard. After children have expressed their views, adults have to actually really think about what children have said and take it seriously. What happens in life, as well as in law, is that, you know, when children are little, they don't have much capacity to make decisions. But as they grow older, they get more experience, more knowledge, and we give them more power to make decisions.
Hello, my name is Amira. I'm an Oryx Radio reporter. My sister went to Red Cross Hospital when she had leukemia. I've never heard of participation, but I have heard of consent as a right for children. I remember when my mom told me that they wanted to test my blood to see if I was compatible with my sister, because my sister needed blood. All I remembered from that day was that I wasn't a fan of needles by then, so I was very afraid. They had to get 7 nurses to hold me down in order for them to draw blood. My mommy told me they were going to put me to sleep, but they didn't do that. The doctors and the nurses didn't tell me anything about what was happening, so I didn't know anything.
Hi, my name is Tariq, and I am an Oryx Radio reporter. Nobody's explained it really to me about these rights. This is the first time that I'm hearing about these rights. Well, consent to me, it means like someone's, you give the permission, you allow someone to do something. Obviously when I was small, not that I really paid attention, but especially in my teen years, like as I reached my teens and that, the doctors always used to ask me, when I got to high school, I think, I was like 14-ish, that's when the doctor started speaking to me more than my parents. And now, like, that I'm 18, they just speak to me. They don't speak to my parents at all.
My name is Delita, and I'm 15 years old. I'm also a patient at the Red Cross. Participation in consent means that, say, for example, a child is going to go under surgery. The doctors can't just call the parents and tell the parents that the child is going under surgery. The child has the right to know what's going to happen regarding him or her. I was never in a situation where I was not included about what's going to happen to me, where the doctor speaks only to my parents. My experience with the Red Cross was actually great because they've always told me what's going to happen to me and not just go to my parents while I know nothing. So I've always knew what's going to be happening regarding me.
My name is Silva. I'm the chief audiologist here at Red Cross Children's Hospital, and I've been working here for just over 3 years now. We are very involved in assessing children's hearing and treating any hearing loss that they might have with assistive listening devices such as hearing aids or FM systems. So when we test a child's hearing, we always try to include them and to make it fun. We try to make it a kind of a game. So we will ask them things like, do you want to listen to some pretty sounds, or shall we play a fun listening game? When we have to do some objective testing, which means that they don't need to necessarily respond to sounds, but we just put a probe in their ear, for example, we will often demonstrate it first on ourselves or first on their caregivers and show them that it's not sore. When we have to fit a child with hearing aids, we try and include them as much as possible by, for example, asking them, what color casing do you want? Do you want a pink glitter ear mold? And usually if they make the decision themselves, they are more willing to wear it and to comply with it at home and at school.
My name is Abigail. I'm 13 years old. The right of the child is you have to tell the child what's wrong with him. Otherwise, the child will maybe be confused or something.
My name is Mark Hendricks, and I am a pediatric oncologist working at Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital. So the explanations that you give children depends on a few factors. The first, of course, is age. And so it would be easy to understand that a child who is 2 years old is not going to have the same language proficiency that a child who is 6 or 10 or 16 may have. And so you direct the conversation at the level of the child. So you use methods that a child is going to understand. And so for the younger children, using drawings is often a good way of giving them simple explanations about both their disease and their treatment. Of course, once children are older and their language skills are more developed, you're able to give more complicated explanations. And they also ask you far more complicated questions.
Ek is Sabrina en ek is 16 jaar oud. Ek dink een van die kinderregte is dokters of nurse moet die kinders mooi verduidelik, miskien in 'n cartoon hoe wat plots hulle soldate wat die siekte of die virus help beveg, of rooi bloedselle moet hy help of ondersteun deur beter eet of sovoorts. Maar die feit bly staan is hulle moet die kinders met hand in hand sit en vir kinders mooi verduidelik wat in hulle liggaam aangaan.
That's the end of part 1. We still have more to go. So get up, stretch a bit and go fetch your cup of warm coffee. And when you're back, you can press play. Welcome back. We will continue with this program. Here is the next part.
My name's Lucy Jameson. I work as a researcher and advocacy coordinator at the Children's Institute. I'm very lucky that I work with a group of students who are training to be community pediatricians. So that's doctors that work with children out in their local community, so beyond hospitals and facilities like Red Cross. And one of the things that comes up is they have lots of creative ideas about how to inform children about their rights, how to share information, but that really hasn't been taken up at a provincial or a national level. I invite all your listeners to walk around their ward, or next time they're moving around the hospital, to look, is there a poster that describes children's rights? Is there one that outlines what the right to participate in health decisions in particular? You know, that should be in every ward, so that their parents and caregivers and children themselves know what their rights are in terms of making decisions. These are simple things that can be done to remind doctors, nurses, caregivers within the hospitals of the steps that they're supposed to be taking, and for parents, caregivers and children about their rights.
Hello, I am Radia Matthews and I am Dakira's mom. Vakra was born with a critical congenital heart defect. That means that the structure of a heart was not the way it was supposed to be at birth. I think it's important that the child does get included, because already when they come, then they're lost. They know they're coming here for, or they feel they're coming here for a bad experience. A lot of doctors, and especially the students, you can sense their nervousness. You can feel the tenseness. And if I as the mother can feel it, then obviously the akra as the patient can feel it. And a lot of the time they don't introduce themselves. They don't say hello. They don't acknowledge who they are. They just come and do a lot of the time. And it's nice for them to just say hello. That's it. And then explain what it is they're doing, why they're pricking, why they're cutting, why they're touching. Because all of a sudden this person comes and they just touch the child and the child gets tense and then they start crying and then they can't handle it because the child is screaming, mom is tense. And some doctors are great at it. Their tone and their manner is quite soft and they will greet me as well as the akra. And they'll have a little conversation with her, which makes the atmosphere for her a little bit less.
Hi, my name is Tamina. I am 12 years old. I had leukemia. Leukemia is where you have loss of white blood cells or blood cells, I don't know. They never explained to me why they're taking the blood. They just said to my mother, she has to take, we need to take more blood for more tests. They never explained to me what actually was wrong.
My name is Patricia Chisa. I'm staying in Franshoek. Nelisa's mother, she has cancer. My child was going to get a bone marrow. When she get bone marrow, she must not eat. And the doctor said she was going to get that thing, so she must not eat the whole day. And the chemo was coming late, four o'clock. And when we going there to bone marrow, they said she must not get bone marrow. But she was not eating the whole day. I was angry. And my child was crying the whole day for some food, but she must not get food. And later, doctor said she is not going to get that thing. So I was angry in that thing.
Hello, my name is Jordan. I'm 7 years old. I got only fun. Die, but I'm in your finger, turkey. Marcus, all right, not answer things. For the tongue with a finger there, it makes me not see her as an answer thing. I get home, I say, I go on it, I'm funny, but the doctors and the nurse, it makes me say.
Hello, my name is Shana D. Abrams, and I'm 10 years old, and I don't like the pricky thing when they just press on the finger, because it was very sore when I had it. I told the doctor I don't like it. They explained to me how they're going to do the prick thing on my finger.
Hi, my name is Napo. I'm from Down Syndrome Support Cape here in Red Cross. I work there as a family counselor, but I'm a qualified social worker. At the end of the day, we need to accept that it's still the child's responsibility, it's the child's body. So they need to talk to the child. They need to. If the child cannot speak for themselves, therefore it's a different story. But if a child can speak for themselves, they need to include the child. They need to ask the child, hey, can I do this? Or would you like to participate in this? If the child can speak for themselves, initially they should actually try to speak to them.
My name is Amiro. I'm an RX radio reporter. My sister went to Red Cross Hospital when she had leukemia. Before doing anything, please speak to the child so they know what you're actually doing. Because some of them are very clueless when it comes to things like this. Especially for a young child, if you think of it. Okay, children that are younger than 8, 9 are completely clueless about what happens at a hospital, unless they've been here for a very long time, then they're used to it.
My name is Takamba Toba. I'm 19 years old. I've been a patient in Red Cross for 11 years. I didn't know that participation and consent is a right. So when I first came here, I was 9 years old, and I the doctors didn't actually know what was wrong with me. And when they decided to put me a tracheostomy, they didn't tell me. They told my aunt and my grandmother had to come from Eastern Cape to also come and hear what was the tracheostomy and why they needed to put me in. But when I came out and the doctor started to explain to me what is a tracheostomy and why did I need it. So I only got to know about it after I had it because I was unconscious and they had to do it. So my aunt and my grandmother gave permission to them. I would say the health workers must ask permission to patients whether they can maybe do operation or not. Because at the end of the day, it's their bodies and they are the ones that will have to live with maybe a tracheostomy or kidney transplant, all those things. So it's important to ask the patient because parents will not be the ones that will be feeling the pains and all of that. So I think children needs to know what will happen to them and how will it feel and how will it affect them and what will change. Because most of the time, if you have like a big operation, your body changes, your lifestyle changes. There are certain things that you must do and there are certain things that you must not do. So a child must be prepared for those things. And then they can decide if they want to do it or not.
My name is Silva. I'm the chief audiologist here at Red Cross Children's Hospital. Yeah, I think it is very important to include children and parents in your session. Otherwise, they're not going to be compliant in the long run. There's been so many studies and so much literature on participation or compliance to treatment. And it's so much better if you include your parents and your children to be equal partners so that it's not just the healthcare professional that does all the talking and does all the recommendations. If you kind of pose more open-ended questions and you involve them and you explain to them and you give them the information that's required, they are much more, they're going to have much more positive outcomes.
Hi, my name is Tariq and I am an RX radio reporter. Well, within the hospital, I feel that obviously, the doctors should explain it. Maybe it could be written within the folder because a lot of parents read through the folder so that if people are given brochures at the hospital so that parents can know about these rights and when these rights are being defined or not. I think it is important. I think that they should include the child in the conversation because at the end of the day, the children are much more smarter than we think. And with each generation, their intelligence is just increasing as well as their understandability. So we need to explain to them, like the doctors always used to explain to me even though when I was small and that, and then as I got older they just started going into more detail and more detail. But it's important to explain to them from a young age and then just go into more detail as they get older, whereas in explaining everything to them when they're older, because you're nurturing the child with regards to its illness, why you need to do certain things to the child. So as the child gets older, he or she comes into terms with what is needed to take place.
And often it's not just the children who are afraid to ask, but when, you know, information's been given by a nurse or a doctor and there's been no chance to ask questions, the parents are afraid to say, I didn't understand, sorry, can you explain that to me? And that right to participation and information, it's the bedrock of respecting all of children's rights. So if we can think about and package information so that it's accessible to young children, many, many more parents, caregivers and older children will also understand the conditions or their rights or the treatments that are available. So it's a big challenge still that we've got to get right.
Thank you for taking your time out to listen to this program. This was put together by RX Radio, a radio station by and for children, situated at the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital. Please visit our website www.rxradio.co.za for more amazing programming. Enjoy the rest of your day.